We're going to talk to Cindy, listening in Louisville, Kentucky, on YouTube.
Thank you all for all that you all do, and may the Lord bless you all.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, we're very glad to have you on today. Can you tell us what is happening with you and how we can help?
I'm stuck waiting for real life, and it never begins. And then my husband needs help, and I can't help him. Mm. And he won't get help.
What does he need help with?
Alcohol and marijuana.
How long have you guys been married?
40 years.
40 years. Wow. And Cindy, how long has this been a problem in your marriage?
I would say most of it.
Most of it? Yeah.
Is he aware that it's a problem? Like, would he say he has a problem with alcohol and marijuana use?
Oh, no. He definitely does not. It's my problem, and it's because of my dad, you know, how I grew up, that, it's my problem.
Yeah.
So did you grow up with an alcoholic father?
Yeah.
And so he believes that you're just overreacting to his drug and alcohol uses.
Is he a high functioning user? Does he maintain a job? Does he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said he goes to work every day, and he works, he says.
What's your relationship with him like?
Bitterness and resentment.
Is the bitterness and resentment all around this alcohol and marijuana use for 40 years?
I think so. Yeah.
Are you the one that's bitter and resentful?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Cindy, let me ask you a question. What does a typical day in your husband's life look like?
He works. He comes home. He might say something. He may not. Maybe 10 words all night. Maybe not. And then he'll drink. And then.
And what does he drink?
Mostly shots and then beer.
So like shots of whiskey,
whiskey.
Okay. And then beer.
Yeah.
And this is a daily routine?
Yes, but he says it's not every day.
Okay.
But it is.
But it is every day. Well, that's a good alcoholic,
What's a day in your life look like? What are you doing?
I retired to watch my grandchildren, and he says, that I don't work, that he works, and then, I don't do anything.
But that's okay. Tell me, though, what does your day look like? Like, he goes to work and comes home and drinks and maybe says 10 words and goes to sleep. What are you doing?
Nothing.
So you get up in the morning and you just sit there and...
I watch the kids from 7 to 6 if I have them.
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing.
I'm sad you call that nothing. That's a hard working job.
That's why I pushed back. I'm like, no. So you are doing something. So, and I don't mean the question to challenge your staying at home with the grandkids. I want to know when he comes in the door. Do you say anything to him? He has 10 words for you. What's your welcome? What is it like for you after the kids go home?
Well, I start walking on eggshells and I try to, get the kids to come around him and, the little ones and just talk to him and that. And then we usually go, try to stay out of his way.
And I think most of the time, most of these days, you're feeling pretty sad, pretty scared, and like you have no power to change any of this. Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If he didn't have the drinks, what would you expect your time with him in the evening to be like?
We might sit and watch TV, but really there's no conversation. And I've tried to ask him, I say, I just want conversation.
Yeah. So Cindy, let me jump in. Everything that you're telling me right now, telling us, tells us that you are living deep in an addictive system.
Yes.
Right? Walking on eggshells, disconnected. Yeah. And one of the telltale signs, this is for all of us out there, one of the telltale signs that you are living with an addict or you are living around addiction is you have the addicted person under-functioning and everyone else over-functioning. You're trying to even manage a relationship with the grandchildren with him.
And the children.
And the children, right? So as long as you overfunction for him, you keep him drinking. Not, and you're not responsible for that. I just want to say it keeps it all going.
It protects his drinking.
Yeah.
That I'm making him, you know, I'm making him look like the jerk, making him look bad.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all all the defense mechanisms. There's denial. No, it's not a problem. There's minimization. It's not that big of a deal. There's justification. I work hard. And there's projection. You're the problem, not me. So all of the telltale signs of addiction are right there. So you are not relating to a person. You are relating to an addiction. And an addiction that you are powerless against. He is too, but you are powerless against. So all of the management you're trying to do around it is not working. And therefore, you said it well, repeating our words, you're sitting around waiting for your real life to begin. Mm-hmm. So guys, how do we get her into her real life?
Well, Cindy, I can just sense that mantle of fear that you live under, and it's a scary situation you are in. So you're right to be so concerned about what your husband is doing and is not doing. And we want to get you empowered. We want to reconnect you with courage and with assertiveness. You may never have had or felt those things growing up with an alcoholic parent. So there was a setup here already in your mm-hmm. life. But Cindy, getting into your own counseling, having a medical evaluation for your anxiety to find out if medication would be a help to you, and then getting into the rooms of Al-Anon, because there you will learn that there are a lot of things the family members of an addict can do to keep themselves safe and protected, and to invite their addicted family member in to help as well. Now, he's already said no, he's not interested, but it just leaves a whole world of action steps that you can take, Cindy, to take better care of yourself.
Yes, Cindy, I think you're wanting him to stop doing something that he thinks he needs to survive. And so you're not going to win. You're just not.
No.
So stop that fight and turn
I've said I was going to change him when we got married.
That's a clear symptom of an adult child of an alcoholic. So
you're not alone in that.
Yeah,
belief.
You're not alone. I get it. I get it. Yeah.
But you're not. You haven't. In 40 years, you've seen that you haven't changed him. Now, it's not to say people can't change. People do. We get married and we evolve. We become different people. You have to do that work for yourself. It's time for you to evolve, become the person you want to be, live the life you want to live. And so take your eyes off of him and kind of think about the plank in your eye versus the speck in his eye. I know that speck looks like a plank, but it's not yours to manage, as you've seen over the 40 years. Yours is your speck. And if you turn that energy on yourself, you will begin to live the life you want to live, and you'll have to maybe leave him behind.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want me to get the help.
Yes.
He doesn't.
No,
he's gonna
because
keep gaslighting
hey, if
you.
Yes, if you get help, his covers are pulled. The addiction's in trouble.
But you get help without it having to be anything about him.
Yeah.
Your help is not about him. And if he tries to make it about him, you can say, I offered you help. I wanted to do work with you. This is about me.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. So please.
It's hard to step back because I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, you
don't worry about
don't
it.
Don't worry about it.
Are you afraid he's going to harm you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
If you're worried about him leaving or over drinking or doing any other strange thing to or about himself, there's nothing you can do about it anyway.
Well,
I'm almost like him to be gone better.
For sure. And so, Cindy, that's the first move. Get into Al-Anon. These are people who are in a similar situation for you that are finding solutions. And we're going to send you a life recovery Bible that helps you get into your work as well as take your life back. I'm going to send you two resources, and we need lots and lots of resources because you've lived in this situation for a long time. It may take a little bit to live outside of it and to live beyond it. And as we said, getting your life to begin in front of you. And so this is a reminder for all of us. It's not just the addict whose life is hijacked to the addiction. it's everyone's who's connected to the addict whose life gets hijacked by the addiction.
And
so,
you at that point, you want so desperately for them to get better so you can have your life back. And in actuality, you have to release them to their own situation and you take your life back.
And that's why I tell families, and myself included, may not be fair, but we all need recovery now. Mm-hmm. We all have to get into our work.